Feeling anxious today? You've picked the perfect time to listen to Dr. Robert Jeffress today on Pathway to Victory.
Let me share with you three words that will remove much of the anxiety in your life, okay? Do it now. Do you have an unpleasant telephone call you need to make? Do it now. Do you have an appointment you know you need to make? Do it now.
Welcome to Pathway to Victory with author and pastor Dr. Robert Jeffress. Tossing and turning at night, waking up fretting over uncertainties of your day, and privately churning about issues over which you have absolutely no control. Those are all telltale signs of worry. And while some personalities tend to fabricate false fears more than others, at some level, all of us struggle to keep our concerns in check. Today, on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress offers the biblical antidote for overcoming anxious thoughts. Maybe you could use an encouraging reminder that God is in control. Dr. Jeffress has titled today's message, Winning Over Worry.
A thief is running loose in our midst. He's a dangerous thief. He's stealing those things that are most important to us. Our joy, our energy, our peace of mind. The name of the thief? Worry. Somebody has said that worry is a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind that, if left unchallenged, will cut a deep channel into which all of our emotions and our energy are drained. Corrie ten Boom once said, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, it empties today of its strength." I think one of the greatest examples of the devastating power of worry actually comes from the Second World War. During World War II, from 1941 to 1945, 250,000 Americans lost their lives in that conflict. But during that same period of time, 1941 to 1945, 2 million Americans died of cardiovascular disease. And doctors say one-third to one-half of those deaths were caused by worry. Think about it. During the Second World War, more people died from anxiety than died from combat. That's the power of worry. Dr. Charles Mayo, founder of the famous clinic by his name, estimates that one-half of the hospital beds filled today are filled with people who have worried themselves there. Worry not only drains us of our physical and emotional strength, it also saps our spiritual strength. Jesus never meant for us to worry ourselves to death. In fact, one of the lasting legacies that he left to us was the gift of peace. In John 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be fearful." Unfortunately, many Christians today, perhaps even you, are not experiencing the gift of peace that Jesus wants you to enjoy. What is peace? It's that assurance that God is in control in spite of what's happening around you. Why is it that both Christians and non-Christians are filled with anxiety? I want us just to mention, first of all, three major causes of anxiety in our life. Jot them down. I think it will help you remember. First of all, some of the worry we have is caused by a wrong value system. It was the great Scottish preacher Alexander White who once talked about our tendency to hang very heavy weights on very thin wires. For example, we hang the very heavy weight of our happiness on our health, only to have that wire snapped by a bad report from the doctor. Or we hang the very heavy weight of our purpose in life on our family, only to have it snapped by a traffic fatality. The truth is, we're always going to be anxious, filled with worry, when we ever build our lives around those things that can be taken away from us. Deep down, we know these things, whether it be our family, our job, our money. We know how tenuous those things are, how easily they can be taken from us. And we have this low-grade worry that stays with us whenever we build our life around those things. Besides a wrong value system, a second source of worry in our life could be unconfessed sin. Whenever we are willingly violating God's standard for behavior, we have that innate sense that eventually God is going to discipline us. And so we have this heavy anxiety in our lives as we expect God's discipline in our life. A great illustration of that is seen in the life of King David. You know the story of David and Bathsheba. David was guilty of the double sin of not only adultery, but of the murder of Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. And during that time when he covered over his sin instead of confessing his sin, he wrote about what that experience was like in Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4. He said, "When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of the summer." Whenever we know we're not living as we ought to live, whenever we know we're not as close to God as we should be, we feel like the proverbial sword of Damocles is hanging over our head. And at some point, God is going to bring his discipline into our life. Contrast that to the peace of mind that comes from righteousness. In Isaiah 32, verse 17, Isaiah said, "And the work of righteousness will be peace, and the service of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever." Unconfessed sin in your life can be a source of anxiety. A third very possible source of anxiety in life is satanic attack. I want you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. As you know, this is a listing of the spiritual armor that we have been provided with to fight against Satan's schemes. And listen to one of the pieces of armor that is described in Ephesians 6, beginning with verse 16. Paul writes, "And in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one." Now, the Roman shield was made of a piece of wood, 2.5 feet wide, 4.5 feet tall, and it was covered in leather that had been soaked in water. And the reason for this is, whenever the Roman soldiers would engage in battle, the opposing enemy would take arrows dipped in pitch, set on fire, and they would shoot them at the Roman soldier. And when those flaming arrows or missiles would approach the soldiers, they would simply hold up the shield. And when that flaming missile would hit that water-soaked leather, it was completely extinguished. Now that's the word picture that Paul is painting for us. Satan is our adversary. And in his arsenal, he has a number of fiery arrows he likes to shoot in our direction. But I think his favorite is that of worry. Worry has a way of absolutely paralyzing us with inactivity. It stops us dead in our tracks. And I think that's why Satan enjoys that. Have you ever been just out enjoying a great day or busy at work or even sitting in church when all of a sudden this alien thought comes into your mind? What if? What if? What if? And suddenly you're paralyzed with fear. You don't feel like reading the Bible. You don't feel like praying. You don't feel like doing what you're supposed to do, all because you are seized by anxiety. Now, sometimes the anxiety we feel may be legitimate because of unconfessed sin or a wrong value system. But many times, it is coming from the evil one to keep us from moving forward in God's plan for our life. In 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul reminds us that this kind of fear doesn't come from God. Paul writes, "For God has not given us the spirit of timidity, of fear, but instead of power, love, and of discipline." Another reason I believe anxiety is one of Satan's favorite tools is because of the source of most of our fear. You know, I look back on the things I've worried about in the last 25 years, and I just laugh that how ridiculous they were to even think about or worry about. At the time, they seemed like such distinct possibilities, but when I think about it, they were so out there, I'm not even sure why I gave them a second thought. But many times, the things that we worry about are things that have no possibility of coming true at all. They are based on a lie. Dr. Walter Cavert, in his study on anxiety, concluded that only 8% of people's worries are legitimate. In other words, 92% of the things we worry about tend to have no foundation whatsoever. Isn't that like Satan himself? We've talked about the sources of worry: unconfessed sin in our life, wrong value system, satanic attack. Now what I want us to look at are some biblical solutions to worry in our life. I want you to just jot down four very practical, more importantly, biblical ways to handle worry in your life. Number one, at the top of the list, repent of known sin in your life. If some of the anxiety we have in life is because of either a wrong value system or wrong actions, then it seems very logical that what we need to do is to change what we're doing. For example, maybe as you think about the things you fear most, it reveals that you're building your life around the temporal rather than the eternal. You're building your life and your happiness around things that could be easily taken from you. For you, repentance means to acknowledge that to God. To say, God, I've been building my life around the wrong things, the wrong people. Today I want to build it around you. There's some of you right now engaged in behavior. God's judgment hasn't come into your life yet. Don't confuse God's mercy with God's tolerance. Just because God hasn't brought judgment into your life yet doesn't mean he's not going to. He's just giving you perhaps one last chance to turn around, to repent. Instead, 1 Corinthians 11:31 tells us that if we judge ourselves rightly, we should not be judged by God. Repent of known sin in your life. Number two, to remove anxiety in life, remove unnecessary fear. You know, many of the things we worry about are unnecessary and can be easily dealt with. How? By confronting the source of our fears. Many of us feel anxious about things we know we should be doing, and we just don't do them. For example, maybe you know you ought to go to the dentist, but you've been postponing going to the dentist because you're afraid of what he might find when he starts looking in there and probing around. So you just put that off. The only problem is, even though you've postponed your appointment, you can't postpone your fear. You don't think about your teeth every day, but in the back of your mind, there's that low-grade nagging sensation that something could be wrong that you're not tending to. Deal with things instead of postponing them. A doctor said, the three killers of our age are the clock, the calendar, and the telephone. What those three things have in common is they all remind us of things we should be doing. Let me share with you three words that will remove much of the anxiety in your life, okay? Three words, write them down. Do it now. Do it now. Do you have a difficult letter to write? Do it now. Do you have an unpleasant telephone call you need to make? Do it now. Do you have an appointment you know you need to make? Do it now. You know, another way to confront unnecessary anxiety is to deal realistically with your anxiety. Remember, one of Satan's favorite tactics is to confront us with unfounded fear. Remember Willard Scott, the former weatherman on the Today Show? I remember reading an article about him in Parade magazine. It's actually an article he wrote about fear. He had a number of phobias, but one of his chief phobias was that of bridges. He could not drive across a bridge. He was afraid it would collapse. And many times he would go hours out of the way just to avoid crossing a bridge. One day he realized how ridiculous that was, so he chose to confront his fear. He got into his convertible. He drove across the bridge, across the Chesapeake Bay, drove back and forth 50 times. And guess what? The bridge never collapsed. He confronted the source of his fear. And we need to do that as well. I remember more than 25 years ago, I was returning from a mission trip in Mexico, and I was sitting in the Mexico City airport. I was just sitting there waiting for the plane, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, one of those alien fears popped into my mind, and it absolutely grabbed hold of me. It was one of those, what if this happens? I was paralyzed. And then I think maybe God gave me this idea. I took out a yellow sheet of paper off my legal tablet, And I wrote at the top of the legal tablet the fear. I wrote it out, what I was afraid that might happen. And then I made three columns on this piece of yellow paper. First of all, I wrote down five reasons my fear probably would not happen. And then in the next column, I wrote five specific things I would do if this occurred. And then in the third column, I wrote down five benefits in my life if this particular fear came true. And as soon as I did that, that fear evaporated. This is that yellow piece of paper. It's 25 years old. I keep it in my file as a reminder of how to handle worry. You say, well, now, Pastor, that sounds real great, but where in the world do you get that from the Bible? That just sounds like a lot of positive thinking, mumbo jumbo. Not at all. It is rooted in the Word of God. You know, in Ephesians 6, verse 14, look at it. Paul says, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. Sounds kind of funny, doesn't it? Girding your loins with truth. What is he talking about? The most basic part of clothing for a Roman soldier was the tunic. The tunic was a free-flowing garment. The only problem with the tunic was if you went into battle, you might trip over your own tunic, or the enemy might grab hold of one of the loose pieces and gain an advantage. Every soldier knew before he went into battle, he would have to take that tunic, the loose flowing tunic, and tuck it into his belt. That's what Paul is talking about here. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:13, therefore gird your minds for action. Tuck in those loose thoughts. That's what he's saying. Any of these free thoughts that come into our mind, we need to tuck them in. That is, we need to confront them with the belt of truth. That is the truth of God's word. There's something powerful about confronting our fears with truth. Number three, remember God's past faithfulness. If you want to deal with worry in your life, remember God's past faithfulness. I want you to turn over to Psalm 3 for just a moment. You're going to recognize the words of this psalm. They're written by David. And this psalm was written when his son Absalom had led a national revolt against his father, and David lapsed into despair. Listen to what he wrote in verses 1 and 2. O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying to my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. But then notice how quickly his attitude changes. Verse 3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. What is it that changed David's attitude so quickly? David started remembering God's past faithfulness. And as he reflected on God's past faithfulness, he said, the same God who has delivered me in the past will deliver me from this problem. And David had a way of reflecting on God's past faithfulness. Remember as a young boy when he was going up against Goliath and everybody thought, who in the world is this little Israelite to go against Goliath? And in 1 Samuel 17, verse 37, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. You see, David was able to look back on God's past acts of faithfulness. And the past faithfulness of God gave him courage for the future. By the way, as you look at your past, can you cite three or four times where God miraculously intervened in your life? When you were facing a problem that was too big for anyone to handle, and yet God delivered you, there is no other explanation for how you were saved, how you were delivered, other than the hand of God. We need to keep those experiences fresh in our mind. We need to write them down. We need to keep a spiritual journal so that when we get into those times like David was facing now, we can look back and be encouraged by God's faithfulness. Number four, a handle worry in our life. Remain in contact with God. I want you to turn over to Philippians chapter 4, familiar passage we've looked at before. Paul provides us with the true greatest antidotes I know of for worry. One is speaking to God. The other is allowing God to speak to us. Look at Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That word guard refers to a Roman sentry that would march around a fortress in order to secure the fortress. The Bible says prayer does that for us. When we pray about, instead of worrying about those things we fear most, it's like God marches around our minds. He protects them in Christ Jesus. Communication with God, but also allowing God to speak to us. Look at verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there is anything of excellence, if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. By the way, if we had time, we would look at Psalm 19, verses 7 to 10. These words are used to describe the perfect word of God. Whenever Paul writes about those things that are right, lovely, excellent, he's talking about the word of God. He said, let your mind dwell on these things. And what's the promise? Verse 9, the things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. Prayer, meditation on God's word, guarded Paul's mind when he was in that Roman prison. And in the same way, prayer, meditating on God's word, will free you from many anxious thoughts. The word of God promises, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee.
It's likely you're listening to my words today, and you find yourself mulling over some nagging issues. You're preoccupied with anxious thoughts, things you can't control. It's the first thing you think about in the morning. It's what keeps you awake at night. Well, at Pathway to Victory, we're committed to providing helpful resources just for you. And I'm urging you to pick up the phone or go online and request my book, Winning the War with Worry. Today is your last opportunity to receive this book. On this final Friday in the month of May, this is our last occasion to mention this special time-limited offer. Whether you're wrestling with worry right now, or you know somebody who needs help with this issue, I'd like to send you this book today for your generous gift to Pathway to Victory. David, please give us the details. And remember, I'll be back in a moment with some closing thoughts. David?
Thanks, Dr. Jeffress. Contact us right now and start regaining control over your concerns. God wants to set you free from worry and anxiety. There's no need for you to feel overly concerned. In the book, Winning the War with Worry, you'll learn how to let go of your troubles and trust God with your future. Contact us today with a generous gift, and we'll send you this practical biblical resource. Call 866-999-2965. And remember, when you give a gift of $75 or more, you'll get the book, but we'll also include Dr. Jeffress' teaching series called Growing Stronger in Christ. I really like this series. I think you will too. It's a substantial 13 CD set. Give online and request these resources when you go to ptv.org. Or if you'd like, write to Pathway to Victory, Post Office Box 223-609, Dallas, Texas 75222. That's P.O. Box 223-609, Dallas, Texas 75222. Dr. Jeffress, we're excited about what God's been doing through our efforts. Now, we're still a young ministry compared to some, just 3 years old, but God has been faithful.
Yes, and God continues to open amazing doors of opportunity, David. In recent days, we've had dozens of radio stations approach us, asking to add Pathway to Victory to their lineup. The only thing that constrains us from saying yes and expanding our ministry, well, it's the resources that we need. Most radio stations require that we pay for airtime, and that can be an expensive venture. So we're looking right now for Pathway partners to join our team. A Pathway partner agrees to give a donation every month. The process is quick and simple, but the impact is eternal. As a Pathway partner, you're helping us pierce the darkness with the light of God's Word. Let me invite you to take this important step today. You can have a life-changing impact on men and women across the country who long to hear the truth of God's Word. To sign up to become a Pathway partner, just go online today to ptv.org and click on the tab that says Pathway Partners. David?
You know, it only takes a moment, but when you become a Pathway partner, you may be changing someone's life for eternity. Think about that. Call now, 866-999-2965, or online, go to ptv.org. And remember to request the book, Winning the War with Worry, when you give. I'm David J. Mullins. Next week, Dr. Robert Jeffress returns with clear and bold Bible teaching. We'll hear the first lesson in a series called Discovering God's Will. So join us Monday to hear Pathway to Victory.